Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, listeners, and thanks for tuning in to episode 2 of Global from Asia. And yesterday was Halloween here in Hong Kong, and Sunny, did you know Halloween?
Yeah, it's quite a funny evening, not like.
Yeah, I was actually in Shenzhen, China last night, and I didn't have to dress up because I was a guailo. For those that don't know, guailo is a Cantonese word. It's a slang for foreigner. What it means is white ghost. So I was a white ghost at the bar last night in Shenzhen, China. And actually, I had some free face painting, so I was even more white as a skeleton. I'll post it up on the website of this episode, globalfromasia.com/episode2, if you want to check out that picture. Okay, so let's just jump right in. We have Sunny Wong here from Grand Consultancy Limited. It's a Hong Kong consulting and accounting company to help small and medium-sized businesses register and maintain their Hong Kong companies. So thank you for being here, Sunny.
Yes.
And I've known Sunny for about 4 years now, or maybe more. My first Hong Kong company, I didn't know what I was doing, and I wish I knew Sunny then. But after I got introduced to him through Francie, a friend of ours, and we've been working together. He's pretty fun to work with. He's flexible. Sometimes we meet in KFC. Today we're in his office. Yeah. Here in Mong Kok, or Yau Ma Tei, next to Mong Kok. And I just thought it would be good to get him in here on our second episode, just because I know a lot of people have some basic questions about Hong Kong companies and what's involved and the costs. So let's just jump right into it, okay?
Sam? Yes, ready.
Okay. So I think the big thing about Asia companies is foreigners versus locals. And in Hong Kong, I just like to bring up that it's the same, right? For a foreigner to open a company versus a local Hong Kong person.
Yes, exactly. There is no difference for a foreigner or a local citizen to form a company in Hong Kong. The point is that any person who is an adult, that means age 18 or above, he or she can maintain a company as the sole shareholder and director of the company. Because according to the company laws in Hong Kong, they are similar to the laws in countries like British, USA, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore. A person who is an adult can form a company like this. And also, when a company is registered in Hong Kong, this is what we call a Hong Kong company. According to the law, a company can do any kinds of business, provided they are legal.
Okay. Yeah.
So there is basically no restriction of the business area.
Okay, great. And I know I've been reading online, and I have a couple Hong Kong companies registered too. So there's a lot of talks about offshore versus like domestic transactions and the taxes involved. It's a little bit complicated, but maybe we could just briefly talk about offshore transactions and some example.
Yes. Some kind of restriction regarding the areas where the Hong Kong government can charge for the profit tax. Mm-hmm. First of all, a company has conducted some kind of business through Hong Kong. Say, if the products are manufactured in Hong Kong, obviously these activities are what we call business activities. Any profit or service of money generated from this area will be subject to the Hong Kong profit tax, no matter what kind of company they are. Mm-hmm. Maybe a foreign company, or offshore company, or a local company. Secondly, if the contract of transaction, the contract between the buyer and the seller, was signed in Hong Kong, so the terms and conditions of the contract will be subject to the judgment from the Hong Kong law system. Mm-hmm. On this area, the surplus or profit generated from the activities will also be subject to the Hong Kong profit tax.
Okay.
Number three, if the company employs staff in Hong Kong and maintain an office there, of course, offices, this is kind of activities will also be subject to the profit tax. So, for example, a company, I would say an office company, they manufacture the goods in mainland China, and the goods was directly transferred to the buyer's company, say USA or Canada's. Mm-hmm. No logistic services or no other supporting services are provided from the Hong Kong people. Mm-hmm. So offices this service or profit will not be subject to the Hong Kong property tax.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to kind of summarize, so there's a lot of interesting information. So if that tax is 17%, right?
No, 16.5%.
16.5% is taxes. So which is already actually pretty low compared to other countries.
Yes, but
you have to pay that tax if those three conditions. One, if the business happens inside of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
The second is if there's a contract.
Yes, with, the contract was signed in Hong Kong.
The contract was signed in Hong Kong. Yeah. Or three, if you have Hong Kong employees.
Employees, yes.
Okay, and then the example of an outside transaction is something's made in China,
yeah,
manufactured in China, yeah, and shipped to Europe or the U.S.,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then that's an outside of China,
Hong Kong
transaction that doesn't have to pay the 16.5% tax.
No.
Okay. I hope people get that. I know it's nobody really likes talking taxes.
But money,
yeah. But that's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
Other common question is a shelf company versus like a normal registered company, and why people do a shelf company.
Yes. Because informing a company is quite easy. You take a procedure, it's about 1 week to complete this. But actually, many people in Hong Kong, they want to get a company to sign a contract, say within 1 or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide services on this area. We have some ready-made company. That means this is actually a shell company. What we call a shell company means that the company has not conducted any activities. A person who wants to buy the company just to change the shareholdings of the company from us. It's
okay.
Quite simple. Just 1 or 2 days to get the company ready.
Well, yeah. Okay.
This is what we call shell companies.
And the age, usually, what's the age? How many years has a shelf company been registered?
Basically, they're a new company. This kind of company will basically form just for a few months or a few weeks.
Oh, really?
Because it is an old company, people will feel a little bit dangerous.
Oh, I see.
Why dangerous? They do not know whether the company has any kinds of liabilities arising in the past.
Got it.
So it's there is no good reason to buy a company that's very, very old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, thanks. So we kind of touched on this at the beginning, but the scope of business.
Yeah.
I've registered companies in other countries, China is one, and yeah, it's a lot more difficult where you have to be specifically talk about what your company is doing, and you can only do that kind of business. But in Hong Kong, I think one of the benefits is it's flexible. So maybe just explain the scope of business, how that...
Okay. The point is that many people now, they want to conduct their business in mainland China through using a Hong Kong company. Of course, we know that there is a lot of restriction in mainland to setting up a business there. There are a lot of regulations which you should have been complied with. But in Hong Kong, you can set up a company very simple, just using your own identification cards to set up a company. Most important is that when we have already formed a company in Hong Kong, we can use this Hong Kong company as an investor in China,
mm-hmm,
in China to own another enterprise,
yeah,
or set up a new company in China.
Yeah.
So basically, although this company, what we call a project company, is a Chinese company, but the owner is local Hong Kong company.
Yeah.
So it's really convenient for the investor to use this kind of methods.
Got it.
To start their business in China.
Okay. And I've also heard about that in Philippines and other countries in Asia, that
yeah,
they have a Hong Kong parent company with like a Philippine subsidiary.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a little bit different than the question. With scope of business,
yeah,
in scope of business, in Hong Kong, you can say trading, but you can do consulting, or you could do e-commerce, or you could do, you know, in Hong Kong, you can do any kind of business with your Hong Kong company.
Yes, basically, what we call a company which can conduct any kind of business,
mm-hmm,
provided they're legal,
yep,
with some exceptions, such as banking business, stock market trading, mm-hmm, and also some kind of specific areas.
Okay.
They have some restriction on regarding this industry. But basically, regarding a general business, a company can conduct. Because according to the constitution of a company, what we call the memorandum and articles of association of a company, there is basically absolutely no restriction.
Okay.
That means you can use an ABC food company, conduct a transportation business.
Okay.
The name and the nature of business are totally different. But you still can do this.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then another popular question I've been getting is, what are the costs of maintaining a Hong Kong company after registering?
It's quite simple, and the cost is basically low, because they have, a company must pay the business registration fee. The annual fee is in Hong Kong now is 200 something, Hong Kong.
Okay.
And also they have to file their annual return. And thirdly, they have to, if they have business, they have the audited financial statements by an auditor.
Mm-hmm.
So the fee for the audit fee for the company for each year actually depends on the transaction volume.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So maybe a few thousand Hong Kong, or maybe over 10,000 Hong Kong.
Okay.
So it depends on the business volume.
Got it.
Yeah.
So everybody knows, this is Hong Kong dollars, not U.S.
No, Hong Kong dollar.
Hong Kong dollar. So for the annual registration is about 250 Hong Kong dollar divided. So the exchange rate is actually locked to the U.S. dollar at 7.8.
Yeah.
So I usually just round up to 8. So 8 into 250 is about, math is bad here.
Just the fee for a lunch.
Yeah. Usually cost of lunch is the yearly registration.
Yeah.
And then there's the 2,000 Hong Kong for the office.
You have to keep an address. The maintenance fee.
You could use your address.
Yes.
If they work with you for a couple thousand Hong Kong. And then, which would be about, again, what is that in dollars? 8 and so
about 30.
Divide that out.
In U.S. about $300
a year for the office and maintenance. And then the audit, after 18 months, audit.
For the first year's audit, it takes 18 months.
18 months. So you don't have to worry about that for a year and a half. But once you get that, it's then about, the low is about 3,000 or minimum is 3,000 up to 20,000. This is all Hong Kong dollars, so that's about $400 to maybe $2,000 US.
Yeah.
So it just depends on how many transactions and how well you keep track of your own books.
Yes.
Right?
If a company does not have any business for the years, no audit work has to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think that kind of covers the basics here. I know there's a lot more complications. And then you have to keep all the receipts or
how? Yes, keep all the documents related to the income and the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep all the evidence, the papers.
Got
something
it.
Like that. It's quite simple.
Yep.
Because in Hong Kong, we now have more than 1 million limited company formed in Hong Kong.
1 million.
Regarding the population of Hong Kong,
even
7 people, among 7 person in Hong Kong, there is 1 million company.
Yeah. So Sonny's just saying there's 1 million companies registered in Hong Kong,
and more than that.
The population of Hong Kong is about 7 million.
Yeah.
So that's
you see the ratio.
Yeah. So you guys get the idea. So a lot of people register companies here, and they run their Asia or global business or China from it. How do you work, Sonny? Do you have some people maybe on the call if they want to?
Yes, of course. We welcome to all the people, no matter the nationalities, then come to Hong Kong or come to our office.
Okay.
Pay a visit and discuss about this kind of company setup.
Okay.
And also the subsequent consultancy service.
Okay.
Because when they open a company, they have to open the bank accounts.
Yeah.
And then how to conduct the business bank account, we can make some advice on this.
Got it.
And we also provide some kind of taxation planning.
Tax planning. Okay.
Tax planning.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep.
And then I think as far as a lot of our listeners, I think, are internet businessmen that work anywhere.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they ask, do they have to come to Hong Kong to do this?
When they open a bank account, they have to do so. But when they just set up a company, we can send the document for them to sign and return. But when they open the bank account, the bank will like to see them at the beginning.
Yeah.
So there's only one requirement.
So one time. So then the steps would be file. They can work online first, and then when they get you have to have the company registered.
Yes.
Then you have to open a bank account.
Yes.
So they can work by mailing the documents, and then when it's registered, they come into Hong Kong for some personal travel, and then they go to a bank, probably like HSBC or Standard Charter. And then take the company documents and open a company bank account.
Of course, there are some kind of exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not want to go to Hong Kong, say, to open a bank account, they can arrange the bank to send the documents to the branches overseas.
Oh.
But of course, there is
fees.
Expensive for the standard services.
Okay. Yeah. I think people should take a trip out to Hong Kong anyway. Right? All right. So I think that's about it for today.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe we'll get you back on the, on the show and get some follow-up questions.
Okay.
Thanks, Sonny.
Oh, see you.
Okay, bye-bye.
So just a useful tip from this takeaway. I registered my startup here in Hong Kong, Social Agent Limited, a little bit less than a year ago, and it was pretty painless. And I've been operating all over Asia with different team members and suppliers, as well as customers from around the world. So it's definitely possible, and don't be too intimidated by it. So that's a wrap for episode 2 of Global from Asia. For clips, photos, and more, go to our website at globalfromasia.com/episode2. And see you next week. We are going to have on episode 3, Casey Lau from Startups HK talking about the startup scene in Hong Kong and other programs from his Catalyst program. Thank you.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.